can kick off. Okay, so last week we spoke about extra wealth, the shtadlus that a person needs to make for his needs, his necessities. There's two things that are different. First of all, his needs and necessities, he has to make his shtadlus. We saw that. And second of all, is he can believe that he'll get what he needs to live. I mean, if Hashem wants me to carry on living, he's got to give me the means to live. He can't want me to live and then starve me to death. You know what I'm saying? So those are two things which are very different to the extra wealth. The extra wealth, he said, you don't have to make any shtadlus. In fact, you shouldn't make any shtadlus. And you don't know if you'll get it. You don't know what you'll get. You may get it, you may not get it, you may not get it when you want it, you may get it later time. Hashem will decide whenever the Levari says that you'll in the time and the place and the amount, that's ordained, that's what you'll get. So those are very different attitudes and approaches to dealing with the different types of wealth. Today is going to discuss something else, also relating to wealth, is to why Hashem makes certain people wealthy. Why do certain people have more, much more than they need, when other people have just barely what they need? So that he's going to discuss now, this aspect of wealth, not relating to the shtadlers and the attitude, but why it is that Hashem gives people extra wealth. V'yesh shemaniga boyer tarfei rabim mibnei adam al yad ish echad mehem la'avchin b'zeh avadoyse lelokim mihamroysoy. So that sometimes Hashem passes panosa of many people through the hand of one person. In other words, one person becomes the conduit, the channel with which panosa flows to many, many people. So why does Hashem do that? He, in other words, he gets all this extra money. It's not there for him to enjoy and have luxury. It's for him to distribute it to other people. Because Hashem wants to test this person to see whether he'll serve Hashem properly or he'll rebel against Hashem and use the money for himself. The Yosim is there, min asibois hachazokos shebesibois hanisoyin. In fact, Hashem makes this person's position as somebody who's looking after other people as one of the most challenging and tempting ways that a person can go. This is a terrible nisoyin. It's not a poshut nisoyin at all. To have all this extra wealth and to know that it's not yours and it's theirs to be distributed to other people, that's a proper nisoyin. One of the reasons we saw that a person needs to make his shtadlus is because Hashem wants to test him. I don't know if you remember in Perek Gimel, we said there that Hashem wants to test a person to see whether he'll make valid ishtadlus, he'll make koshi ishtadlus. That's one of the tests. So too, yeah, when a person has abundant wealth, it's an enormous test, not a posher test. It's a major responsibility. So now he gives some examples of people in this situation. There's Kamelech Shehu Matrif Cheiloi Vavodo. You have a king, his responsibility is to provide for his soldiers and his servants. He's got a lot of people that work for him. There's other people, there's ministers and royal officials and leaders and governors and all sorts of different people that have positions of power. So they're surrounded by people of different groups. There's servants, what we call in South Africa, you have servants. Oh, Shlomo, yeah, Shlomo. So you have servants, you have people that work for you, all different types of different people that are dependent on you for panosa. V'noshim v'krevim, you find it on a smaller scale. People have wives and families that they have a responsibility to take care of. U'mishtadlim ba'avuram l'chazeh al sibas kibbutz hamalon. So these people, they feel responsible. These people are dependent on you. They're called dependents because they're dependent on you. So you feel responsibility, and therefore you go with a lot of energy to amass money and wealth in order to support them. And they do this in ways that are good or bad. You can choose whether you go about acquiring this extra money to support all these people that are dependent on you in a good way or a bad way. You can do it through illegal or illegal ways. You can do it through all different types of ways. And when a person's desperate and is under pressure, his back's against the wall, so then that becomes a real problem inside. Am I gonna stick to the Shulchan Aruch when I'm making my panasa because I know that it comes from Hashem, or no, I'm gonna be under druk and I'm under pressure and I have to do something about it. So so that's these people. So he has extra wealth. There's people that are dependent on him. And Hashem gives him this extra wealth because he wants to see, he wants to test him to see how responsible and how reliable he'll be, or will he rebel. He says the foolish person amongst these people that we're talking about, a king, the owner of a big corporation, or the ministers, royal officials, whatever. Today it's usually it's big businesses, corporations, it's wealthy people. So the fool amongst them, the ksil amongst them, he'll make a mistake in three different ways. Echmain gvakabtu a moment. This guy, he makes a mistake, and he goes about acquiring wealth and amassing all this money. For he gets whatever he was going to get from the Gzeira Boira. There's a Gzeira of the Boira. He's going to get it. So he's going to get it. He's going to get it anyway. Whether he does that in a kosher way or not. And he chooses to do it in a non-kosher way. He deserves it. He doesn't just call it non-kosher. He calls it magunim veroy, despicable and evil. So this guy, you're going to get what you're going to get anyway. Hashem's going to give it to you anyway. But he goes about getting it or mishtadling to get it in ways that are despicable. Alafonov, are you magia el cheftzei v'ritzoinai? He doesn't realize that if he would go after this, if he would mavakesh, he would, sorry, v'ilu haya mavakesh oisa alafonov, if he would go looking for it and making a kosher ishtadlis to get this, he would get the same. He would receive his desires and his goal, his objective, what he was trying to get to. And not only that, but his spiritual world will be kept intact. He's not threatening his olam haba. He wouldn't be lacking anything that Hashem was going to for him if he did it in a kosher way. So it goes about getting something in a non-kosher way that he would have got in a kosher way. He would have got it anyway. That's the famous moshel they bring about the, who brings this? Miller brings it, I think, about the postman. There's a simpleton, a peasant guy lives in a village, and every Erev Pesach, whatever, he's got family that live in the big city. They send him some money or whatever to help him get through the chag or whatever. So he waits every day for the postman to come. Yeah, and every day the postman comes, he says, "You've got a letter for me?" They say, "No." He goes away disappointed. Anyway, it's getting close to Pesach. He's getting a bit nervous. Nothing's come in. So he sees the postman coming and he runs and he goes to the postman. He sees an envelope there. And he looks like this could have some money, whatever. And he quickly grabs it and he runs away. He doesn't realize there was a cop watching. It was a policeman watching. So the policeman went after him and arrested him, took him. We saw there was an envelope of money in it. So they dragged him off to the prison there. They put him in court. And the judge sentenced him to prison, whatever. He said, but I don't understand. He sees afterwards that the envelope was actually made out to him. The address, the name on the envelope was him. So he's telling the cop, but it's my envelope. The cop says, no, whatever. They'll tell that to the judge, yeah? They tells the judge, but it was my envelope. So the judge says to him, yeah, but you stole. And you just waited a few more minutes. You would have got it legally, but you went, you took something that wasn't, that it's yours, but you did it in the wrong way. That's the marshal there, the Bali Musa use. I can't remember where I saw the marshal. It's a famous marshal. That's the marshal. A person is going to get what he's going to get anyway. So why go do dodgy deals and do things that are against the Rotzon Hashem in order to get it? If Hashem wants you to get it, you'll get it. If he doesn't want you to get it, you're not going to get it. So why ruin your Olam Haba in order to get something that's Magia that's coming to you anyway? That's the first mistake that the fool makes.
Can I ask just a quick question? Just in the, maybe it's a little bit, it's basically we said that when you do your ishtadlus, if you do it in a kosher way, it opens the tap, right? Of the gezeira, that something like, yes.
I don't exactly know who says that. I'm saying, I don't know who says that.
I'm just trying to get a hold on. Let's say you try to do it in a kosher way, but if your hishtadlus was not, let's say, so well thought out or valid, so valid in terms of the kosher way, you did less than you should have. However the cheshbon was, that you should have done more hishtadlus, did less hishtadlus, this whatever it is like that. When you did it in the bad way, your mind was thinking, you came up with a really good idea that looks like, you know, it was because of your sly ways that you got the money. But if you didn't do it in those sly ways, you wouldn't have thought up such a good valid ishtadlus. So maybe it would have been held back. I'm trying to back. Or no, even if you did a little bit of ishtadlus, it's enough to open the tap, so to speak, and it would have come to you anyway, one way or another.
Chovitz Olavava says ishtadlus doesn't do anything. It's not kosher.
Right.
You didn't make the right ishtadlus, you made the wrong ishtadlus. Lo mashane.
You did no ishtadlus?
It's a big discussion, as I said. According to the Chovitz Olavava, it seems you made no ishtadlus, so then he discusses that. If you make no ishtadlus, one of two things will happen. Either you'll get it or you won't get it and you'll die, and then you'll be chayf for whatever you didn't do. The Chovitz Olavava says that. Okay, but that's a big discussion. Yeah. That's not a posh discussion. But yeah, we're talking about a specific category of panasa. We're not talking about your normal panasa. Yeah, we're talking about extra wealth that you get for other people. It's not meant for you.
It's beyond. It's not kashur to the normal ishtadlus. This is beyond. Correct. This is ishtadlus beyond.
Uh-huh. You're not allowed to make this ishtadlus.
You don't make any ishtadlus here. There's no ishtadlus.
Extra wealth, but as we just said, not for him. Now he's not making it for him. He understands, Shlomo Karpus understands that he lives in an apartment. If you look around, you might see the other people living in your apartment with you. You're not sure how they got there. You're not sure why they're there. But they, you know, they go through a lot of the panosa that you bring home. They seem to get a lot of it, like a big chunk of it.
Yeah, most of it.
Why do you need four bedrooms? How many bedrooms do you need? Shlomo Karpus needs a bed. You know?
Yeah,
why do the four bedrooms and school fees and two fridges and... You know, how many feet? I need a little bar fridge. You know, you get you get a bit of cottage and whatever, and you're good to go. No, so why do you need this? And so there are other people in the world that are dependent on you, and you have to provide them with panasa. That's what he said. Like a king, a father, a husband. Just hang on, where did I get to? Just one thing. Let's just go back to there.
I'm sorry to come in late and backtrack you.
That's good. So he says like this. He says that there's a chem channels a person's panosa to many people through the hand of one person. So this is not just panosa anymore. This is there's 10 people living in Shlomo Karpus's house. And their panos is channeled through Shlomo Karpus. So Shlomo Karpus feeds not just Shlomo Karpus, he feeds 10 people now. Yeah, that's what he's saying. V'yesh shemaniga boi retalfei rabim libnei adam al yad ish echad mev. Hashem provides panos for a lot of people through one person. So now this one person, as he says, he feels responsibility. U'mishtadin bavrum l'chaze al siboiz kibbutz ha'momon. Since these people feel responsible and dependent, he feels responsible for them. So he very, with a lot of energy and whatever, he goes and he tries and finds ways to amass wealth to support all these people. Sometimes good and sometimes bad.
He goes and tries and finds ways. Did he not just say you can't do that?
No. Again, be very clear on the category. The category we said that a person shouldn't make his ishtadlus is for extra wealth that he wants for himself. Comforts, luxuries. He wants for himself. But let's go back to the beginning. The first category is things you need to live on. Minimum, whatever you need to live on, right? For one person, it's bread and salt. For another person, it's a five-room apartment. For another person, it's a mansion with a swimming pool. Whatever each person, whatever his minimum, what he needs to live on, there you have to make your ishtadlus. But whatever you need to survive, and that applies to mental health as well, by the way. So there, Kodesh Baruch Hu will take care of it. That you can believe that Hashem will take care of. The next category that he mentioned was wealth that you get, which provides you with comforts and extras. Things you don't need to survive. Yeah? You could quite happily live with only eating meat twice a week or whatever. Yeah, you could survive. Some people couldn't. Some people that don't eat meat every week, they have anxiety disorders. Whatever, normal person, let's say.
Most South Africans.
But you like eating steak four times a week. So now you're going to get extra money. You need extra money to eat all that meat, right? So there we said you shouldn't make any studless. If Hashem decrees that you'll get those luxuries and those extra comforts, you'll get them. And if not, not. You shouldn't make any studless. Now we're talking about a third category. We're talking about a nisoyin that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a person, okay? Where he gives him extra wealth, but that wealth's not meant for him. It's meant for him to distribute to other people, to people that are dependent on him. The guy that owns a factory, at the end of the month, he makes $100,000. Yeah, let's say he needs $10,000 to live on. So what's the other $90,000 for? That's for him to be a big Vienna. He can buy a new car, and he can buy this, he can buy that, and whatever. Way above what he needs. No, that's not his money. That money is to pay the worker. That's embezzlement. He has to pay the workers with that money. So now he feels enormous responsibility. He knows at the end of the month, he's got to pay school fees, he's got to pay rent, he's got to pay the mishkanti, he's got to pay his wife's this and that, and whatever position he is in. You get some people in a lot of different positions. He owns a bank and he also has a family and he also, he's whatever. One guy could have a lot of jobs. He's also the prime minister. So now he's got to feed the whole country. So he goes about making ishtadlis to acquire this money that he hasn't said you shouldn't do that. He goes around doing that, but he has choices whether to make, the same as the first guy. He has choices whether to make that ishtadlis in a kosher way or not a kosher way.
Okay, so this is not talking about whether you're going to get comforts. It's a slight difference. This is like way beyond that. This is now we talk, got thousands left over after your comforts that you just don't really know what to do with.
No, you know what to do with because you've got dependents to support.
Okay, fine. So to speak, just that's the category. And therefore, when you fall into that category, well, and you did a studless even to get to that category. That's what he's saying, right? He's saying you obviously did extra hishtadlis to the first part to scale something where there's a possibility to get it.
What do you mean extra hishtadlis?
Well, in the first part, your hishtadlis is that you'll have your minimum what you need. Then the second part is if you get more than your minimum, enough to have extra pleasures, great. That's not what you put extra hishtadlis in. That's part of the first part. Now, the third part is this additional wealth, which is beyond all of that, which seems like it's additional status to the first part.
Or separate.
That's what we're busy looking at. Again, what he's trying to explain to us here is why a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives certain people more wealth than they actually need. Why are some people very wealthy and others not? So that's what he's busy talking about now. So he said,
he's saying that person did additional status to get.
I'm not talking about status. We haven't said anything about status.
No,
I haven't said yet. Whoa. Let's take it in stages. Let's go to Seder the Chovos HaLevavos. He writes his Seder for the visa. The first thing he says is he asks the question, why is it that there are very many people that are very wealthy? So he says, you find the following situation, the Dugma, where many people are supported by one person. So now let's zone in on this one person. This one person is now responsible for supporting not just himself, but other people as well. Okay, so why does Hashem do that? Why does Hashem give this guy extra wealth in order to support other people? Is because, well, he hasn't even said that yet. Before we even get there, sorry, I've jumped one step ahead. You find people that have extra wealth. They have extra money that they don't really need. Yeah, much more than they need. They're wealthy. So he says the reason why Hashem does it is to test them. Just to test them. And Hashem has ways of challenging and testing him with this extra wealth. So then he gives examples of people in this situation, why they have this extra wealth and how they are tested. That's what we're dealing with now. Why does this guy have extra money? Because Hashem wants to test him. Okay, so give me an example of who we're talking about. So the one example is a king. Yeah, the king has lots of extra money because there are a lot of people that he needs to take care of. He's got all his soldiers, he's got his workers, the whole civil service, the whole government has to be paid. So that king has a lot of money that's not his. I mean, it is his, but it's not his. It's his to distribute. The other example we mentioned were other important people, CEOs of companies, managers, businessmen. In our world, let's say, for example, a father with a wife and children. So the wife and children, ordained from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They will be mufanes through one person. Now, this person, now we haven't seen anybody shtadlis yet. But Hashem gives us the extra wealth. Now, this person, because he feels responsible for those that are dependent on him, so he goes away and tries to find ways of making panasa in order to take care of these people. Now, he says they do that either in a good way, he does it either in a good way or an evil way. And now he goes on to explain the three mistakes and the challenges that these people make when they're faced with this responsibility. He's got so many and so many people to pay at the end of the month, or he has a family that he has to support or whatever. So now he goes and he makes his shtadlis in order to acquire this wealth, which is not the immediate wealth just he needs for himself to survive. This wealth is now for other people. Somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to feed these other people. So Hashem's feeding me. I make my shtadlis. Hashem wants me to feed these people. He wants me to take responsibility for them because he wants to test me. So now...
Yeah.
Well, we'll see shtadlis. He hasn't said anything about his shtadlis. He said these people will go... Because he feels responsibility, he will mishtadil for these people to go and find ways of collecting money so that he'll have money to be able to support them. Now, these people make three mistakes when they go about making this hishtadlis, whatever it's called. Yeah. So let's see what the three mistakes are, and then we'll know where the fault in the hishtadlis lies in this area. So the first thing he says is that the first mistake he makes is in the way he goes about amassing the money. Because he's taking what's already been geyser that he's going to get. Whatever money he gets, Hashem was geyser that he was going to get it anyway. Yeah? So whether he does it, in a nice way or he does it in a despicable way, he's going to get it anyway. So why should he go and do it in a not good way and destroy Zolam Haba? If anyway the money's coming, so you might as well do it in a kosher way. So that's the first mistake the guy makes. He starts doing dodgy deals in order to get this money. He's under lachat, he's under pressure, and he wants to get this extra money. He wants to amass this wealth because he needs it for other people, not for himself. Yeah. So he has this altruistic responsibility, but he's going to get it anyway. It's great that Hashem's going to give it to him. So if you'll make the ishtadlis in a kosher way or not, why make it in a non-kosher way? So this guy's making a mistake. Because he's going to get it anyway. So what's he doing dodgy deals for? That's the first mistake. Hasheni hu ki hu choshev shekol ma sheyagia alav min hamamon hu teref mezoinei. This person makes another mistake in that he thinks that all the money he earns, this extra money, all this money comes, is for his food. It means for his personal well-being. He loved after food. The Chodesh Lavan says teref mezoinei. But today we know that... There's more than just a bag of rice. You know, we a bag of rice doesn't do it for us. We need a lot more, you know, to get going, you know, than just the zonus. So, okay, he means whatever is for his personal well-being, for his own sustenance. He may even think, brings down in the map, and the nefesh brings down that he may even think that right now I actually have enough. So why is Hashem giving this extra money? To put away, to save for a rainy day. Maybe I will need it later. And there's something valid in that also. We have to know. The Gemara says you should put a third of your money, whatever. Whatever it means to save, whatever. So this guy's got all this extra money, and he's making a mistake, thinking it somehow has something to do with him. It's his money. It's a kashua love. V'lo yovin ki ha-teref mitchalek l'shleish ha-chalokim. He doesn't understand this extra wealth that he's getting is divided into three different types of three categories. Echad mehem, teref mezoino. Okay, now this is where it gets a little bit complicated because he's now combining all the three levels we've seen before into this error that this guy's making. So this guy goes out and he works and he makes money, right? So that money is divided into three categories. The first category is teref mezoino, v'hu kal kalachas gufa b'vad. That means that's the basic sustenance he needs for his body alone. That's guaranteed that a person will have that until the end of his days. Calls him, Hashem doesn't want him to starve to death. Chalila, but he Hashem will give him what he needs to live. There'll be oxygen. You don't have to worry about where the air is coming from to breathe. You'll have whatever you need to survive. Whatever that bare minimum for this person to live is, that's what he'll have. That's guaranteed. And you'll have it till the end of your day. So that's the first thing. Vashaini, terev monzulosa. That is for food and the minimum income of other people. That's a wife and children and people that work for you, attendants, whatever, all different types of people that are dependent. Let's just call them dependent. Such income is not guaranteed to Hashem for everybody. It's only the privileged one. But according to the unique conditions, specific conditions, sometimes it will happen, even for those that it's gzei, that it will happen for them, but sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. It depends. One time, yeah, he will have money to support a family, sometimes not. According to the way Hashem sets up his system, we'll see, as a whole arichas here. I don't know if we'll have time to go into it now. He has a ganzer riches here from the Mashor. What this means I'm guaranteed that I have enough money for me, but my wife not. That's what he seems to have said, yeah, right? So that's the third, the second category of the money, is the money that is there for the sustenance of these other people that he's looking after, and that's not guaranteed.
What would be, but that gets confusing, because what if you now get this money that's for you, and you use it for your wife, because you don't know, you're getting more, you're not getting more.
Don't ask practical, I don't know, let's just get the principles clear. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We have to go.
That's helped to have a practical view, so I know we're getting the principles, but it feels like we've got a lot of principles and not practical.
Well, that's what we said. At the outset of learning the Sefer, we said we want to go through the Chovos HaLevavos and pick up some basic Yesodos, and then come back and start learning the Sugyos properly. It's very hard to start. You learn the first page of Chovos HaLevavos. You have to get a broad overview of the subject. Then you can go back and start seeing, okay, what do we want to take apart and start delving into other sugyas. There's a big discussion here. He brings from Rav Moshe Feinstein. He brings from the Tiferes Yankov. There's a big sugya that he brings on this particular question. Sounds a bit strange. My panosa to survive is guaranteed, right? There's no question. You need your loaf of bread every day and a glass of water. Guaranteed you'll have that, no matter what you do. You have to make your shtadlis, but no matter what you do, you'll always have it. Then there's extra panos you need for other people, your wife and your children, whatever, that's not guaranteed. Wow, that's not the possible. We have to understand.
And in the same sentence.
One second, I just want to get the structure clear. That's the second category of money that a person gets. It's the first 10 bucks you get for you. The next 10 bucks you get is for your wife and your family. But that's not guaranteed. The first 10 bucks is. I just want to see the third one, and then we can do whatever we want. He goes through, he's going to explain exactly what people think, how they get it wrong, what is the right way to think about all of this. Let's just get the three categories in place first. Vashlishi, the third type of money that a person gets from Hashem, Teref Kinyan, Vua Momana She'ein Bo Teles Lado. This is what's called capital. What we call capital, money, or properties, assets, different assets, shares, whatever he has, bitcoins, I don't know, whatever you want to call that. and this is money that's actually no benefit to him at all. This money has no benefit to him at all. Because it doesn't end up, he doesn't need it for his own survival, and he doesn't need it to support other people. Because his own survival is taken care of in category one. And everybody else that he's supporting, his dependent sustenance was taken care of in category two. So category three is money that he doesn't really need. I mean, we'll find what to do with it, but in the world of the Chovos HaLevavos, it's not your money. So what do you mean you'll find what to do with it? So why don't Hashem give it to him? He just basically guards it and looks after it. He'll either... Someone else will take it from him. He'll leave it over. He'll die and he'll leave it to somebody else. Or he'll do a deal and the person will get the money. The money, you know, he lost his money. You know, they say he lost a lot of money. And he didn't lose it. Hashem took it from him and gave it to somebody else. Or he'll lose it in some way. Some way that money will land up. In other words, Hashem was basically the caretaker. Od Pam, I believe that there's a test, yeah? He's being tested. What do you do with this money? what do you do with this money? I once told a donor of mine, I phoned him to ask him for a donation. He said to me, Rob, I'm in the middle of a big deal. As soon as the deal, if it goes through whatever, you can have the master money from the deal. I said, it's a lousy deal for me. I'm not going to get anything. He said, what do you mean? I said, because you're not going to make money. You're not going to make, this deal's not going to be matzliach. No, why are you giving me an on horror? He starts getting a bit upset with me. He's a South African guy, you probably even know him. So Shlomo for sure knows him. So from the old age days. So he says that. I said, no, I'm serious. I'll prove it to you. I said, this money you're making deals with, yeah? You have enough to live on? You and your wife and your kids, you got enough to live on. You go on holiday 3 times a year. You've got, you know, you're a guy that lives a good life, you know? A wealthy guy lives a good life, whatever. Family money, whatever. And he's got a good life, whatever, yeah? So I said, all this money you're doing deals and whatever with, that's not your money. That's not your money. So you're doing deals with it. Why would Hashem make you be matzliach? There's no way the deal will go through. I'm going to get the master money if the deal goes through. Rather just give me the money. So that's what you're supposed to do with that money. Don't give it to me. Give it to another yeshiva. I don't care. But that money is supposed to be used to help other people. It's not your money. So we'll see him at Hashem. He'll discuss here. He's going to explain now that these three types of income, the Chavis is going to explain where he makes mistakes with these three different categories of money. Klape, what the money is supposed to be used to, and his ishtadlis and his approach and attitude to ishtadlis in these three areas. So, Mitzvah Hashem, next week, I don't know if there'll be a Vaad. It's Cholomoyd. I don't really mind to have a Vaad next Monday night. It's Cholomoyd. I'm happy to have a Vaad. There's not much going on here on a Monday night. If there's a problem, I'll let you know. I'll send you. It's the two of you, basically. I'll send you a WhatsApp. Okay. Otherwise, let's try and make it next week. If you see that I haven't come or whatever, Shlomo, just give me a call, or Jonathan, just give me a, just phone me, because I might have forgotten. Even though my alarm's on, I have an alarm set for it. So, the Mitzvah Shem. So we have to do two things next week. We have to see how the fool approaches this. But before we do that, I want to discuss this this business of, is he assured panosah for his wife? It seems from the Chovos Halavavos, he's only guaranteed panosah for himself, not for his wife and kids. So there's a
good. What about ishtoy kagufoy?
No, so that's why. That's very good. Good question. That's the kasha. Is she considered a part of him when it comes to panosa? That's Rav Moshe Feinstein. If you want to go look in the Orach Chaim, in Chelek Dalet, in Simon, he brings it down. Yeah, Simon Mem Ches. Rav Moshe has whole tumul there. But anyway, he brings it down. We'll see. It's a very interesting subject. The Marshal, there's a Kavis Yankov. Interesting how they learn Chatya in the Chovos Halavavos.
Just one more interesting thing that you could add is that he said that's not guaranteed that you would get that for the person. Fine, for you to distribute to your wife and your children. But Lamaisa, if I'm guaranteed to get what I need, right? So then Lamaisa, my wife and my children are also guaranteed to get what they need. 100%. Why not come from me? 100%. But they're guaranteed to get what they need.
Nachon. That's the famous the famous mitzvah about Rav Arum Leib. There was a whole guy what came to Rav Arum Leib, whatever, they were making a shidduch. And there was a discussion who was going to pay for what and whatever. Rav Arum Leib said to the guy, I don't understand. What the couple's going to get, they're going to get. You can't get the couple get more or less. What Hashem's decided this couple's going to get, they're going to get. So why wouldn't you want to have the schut being the one that gives it to them? Why are you arguing about you don't want to pay for this? He should pay for this. Tell him you'll pay for everything. What do you care? They're going to get it anyway. They might not get it through you. You might say, okay, I'll do it, and it won't come through. It'll come from somewhere else. I know cases where that happened. The father machayev to pay or whatever to buy a dira, and then the dira came from somewhere else. but the couple will get what the couple's going to get. So why are you running away from that? So Nachinami, that's the same year. It's exactly right. It's brilliant. It means my wife's no different to me, klape Hashem. If Hashem wants her to be alive, she's also going to have food. Hashem wants me to be alive, he'll give me food. We're talking about, this extra money that I need in order to buy my wife food, that's not guaranteed. But that she'll get fed, for sure that's guaranteed.
Yeah.
So she's no different to me. That we'll see. Okay, that's a very interesting discussion. The male, female, the whole interesting particular Ramesha there that we need to go through. It's a very, very interesting story. We'll see. There's a Gemara, there's Ramesha Soisaya a little bit. Okay, we'll have to see. That's the whole Sugya, Geshmaka Sugya. But we have congregated now. I don't have the energy and I don't have the time.
recording or for a second?
Yeah, I'll switch off the recording with pleasure. Okay.